not a very, I don't like being center of attention. I don't like being in front of people. It's not easy as it is for not, as it's not for a lot of people. So bear with me. I do want to start out by, make sure I find my way, read two things to y'all real quick before I kind of start. And this is King James Version, Mark 10, 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just kind of a portion. It says, And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." The other thing I wanted to read, and this will kind of tie into what I feel is part of, you know, my testimony, some things that stuck out in my life. Kind of go with that. See if I find the right. And then also James 1:17, it says, this is a New Living Translation, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." So, a lot of my story. A lot of my testimony has to do with my parents, in the sense of their faithfulness to the Lord. The prayers. Everything. So I encourage y'all, if you haven't already heard their testimonies, I would like y'all to listen to those, because they're a huge part of why I'm here today. My name is Timothy Howell. I was born in Norwich, England, January 29th, 1987. My family had moved back and forth from America to England several times. I'm not going to go too much into that. I know shortly after I was born, I think we moved to America for a little bit and came back. I don't remember that time, but most of the early years, up until I was 10 years old, was spent in England. We never really went to church there. It didn't seem odd to me, because being a kid, you don't really put a whole lot of thought or anything into much of anything besides just having fun. And so, but as a family, we would pray together. We would read the Bible together. And so as a family, we spent a lot of time together learning about the Lord. I was homeschooled. Some of my fondest memories of England were just the time spent as a family, whether it was going on bike rides or playing basketball. Some of the football stuff that me and Michael and I would play, some interesting games. We're completely opposite people in the way we played football. Michael was he'll run over you, and I couldn't tackle him at all. And then I was the quick little kid, skinny little kid, that would just run all around the field, and he couldn't catch me. So whoever had the ball, one of us was scoring, like, every time. So it really came down to, I think, whoever had the ball last was the one. But it just, like I said, my time in England is just, my memories that I have of the time in England was just having a whole lot of what I felt was fun family time. And when we came over to the United States in 97, things as a family kind of started to change a little bit. There was less family time. Dad was working a lot of hours, a lot of time spent, and so it felt like all this fun stuff, all the things that we started to do, that we did as a family in England, that whole thing, because of the demands of work and providing for family, all that stuff, felt like it slowly started to shift in a different direction. That's how I felt as a kid. I understand a lot more, even though I don't have kids, I understand a lot more about being an adult and having responsibilities. But as a kid, I just remember wishing things could be the way they were in England. I don't really know a whole lot of what to say about growing up, really. I mean, I guess I was, being the youngest, I probably got away with a lot more than I should have and deserved to, but I had a good home life. Really good parents. I didn't really have anything to complain about. I mean, I've always felt kind of pulled to doing the wrong things. You know, I guess one example would be, I don't remember exactly how old it was, but we had it was a ruckus around wintertime because we had a snow that year, and I decided I had a friend that lived like two doors down. Name was James, and I remember. Sorry, do we have tissue at all? I feel like. Anyways, I would like to play video games, stuff like that, and we didn't have any stuff for video games. Oh, sorry. At home, parents weren't too fond of the whole video game thing, and as a kid, I really liked playing video games, and so that's probably why we didn't have it, was because anytime I was around it, I was glued in. I was stuck. But he had games over there, and I remember one night, for whatever reason, I snuck out of the house to go over there and I guess kind of hang out, and I don't remember anything being planned beforehand, or I don't remember much of anything besides the fact of I was a skinny little scrawny kid, and we have a really skinny bathroom window that I would crawl out. I mean, this window is what, probably that wide, that tall, and that I would climb out. Anyways, went over there, was gone for a few hours, came back, and I guess I had put my, I walked in the back door or something, because I had a bunch of snow on my boots and a bunch of tracks, and so I got easily caught on sneaking out because I'm terrible at hiding any of that stuff. So anyways, I say all that to say that I just, I don't know, I wasn't a terrible kid by any means, but I definitely didn't, you know, always follow the rules. Growing up, at a certain point, started going to a church called Cleburne Bible Church. I'm trying to think about, I don't really remember what year that was, but up until that point, I was probably, I don't know, 13, 14 years old at that time. Never grew up with a lot of friends, anybody outside of the family. We very close family, spent a lot of time as a family, but never really had people and friends that we hung out with outside of things. And so when we started going to this church and they had a youth group, and you know, I remember that was everything. Like, I think on Wednesday nights they had the youth group. To me, that's where I wanted to be, not because we were learning anything specific that I just like was really engaged and wanting to know more about God, but I was like, finally I get to be around other people that are my age and try to always wanted to be liked by other people. So I was very much wanting to just be around people, always be involved with, wanted to have friends, wanted to be my own person, just be liked by others. And I do have some good memories from that time. At a certain point, Michael had been playing guitar and learning guitar, teaching himself different things, learning from some other people. And he started playing with the youth band. At a certain point, the youth pastor who was in charge of the music aspect of it left. I guess he felt like the Lord was calling him in a different direction on stuff. So they had a youth pastor that would bring the message and all that, but the music leader for the youth, he went ahead and went elsewhere. So some way or another, Michael ended up stepping up into that role of leading worship. And so at that point, they needed a bass player. And I don't remember exactly how it all unfolded, but I started playing with him. That's really where my playing music started, was at that time. And the experience I had with music was when Michael was done playing guitar, I might try to pick it up and do the stuff he was doing. I always might watch Michael play and copied a lot of the stuff that he was doing. It's the most enjoyable times I remember during that time of, 15, 16 years old, was the time in that youth group, being a part of the music, and music I really came to love playing music, and specifically with Michael. And we went from that church to another church where Michael was leading worship there, and again, I was there playing bass with him, stuff like that, and just some times where I really felt connected. Some of the times I felt closest to God were during, at that time, we're playing the music together in worship. And I'm not really sure where I'm going with all this, but I guess I'm giving just kind of snippets of my life here and there. Ended up meeting a girl at, I think I was 17 or 8, I was 18 years old. The family that was going to our church met this girl there shortly after we started, I guess, dating. And I think we're dating about 2 years and ended up got married. So this was July, I got married July 6th of 2007, and I mean, that was something like I really wanted to be married. I really wanted that steady relationship, to have somebody that loved me, that just, things that I guess craved about relationships with anybody, about being my own person, about being liked, being, you know, just everything that I sought out in relationships. I had put all that into this one. Very early on in that marriage, things were already not working out very well. It was, especially at being such a young age, just did not know how to handle things well at all. Things were rough for the 3 years that we were married. And 2010, oh man, I'll never forget, I knew things hadn't been right for a while. Things didn't feel right. And just felt like I was going to work, and I knew nothing. I knew something wasn't right, but I knew nothing, no specific thing that was going on in the relationship. But I knew that I needed to head home at that minute, and whatever was going on, I remember calling my dad and said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. You know, I said, I've got to do something to fix this relationship, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I had it in my head that, you know, maybe getting away from everything, moving somewhere, we just start a new life. And so I told my dad that if it just took, quit my job that day, packing up and leaving, that's what I was leaving together, me and her, that's what I was willing to do. That's what I was going to do no matter what. I had, didn't even, just called into work. I was parked down the road from work, called into work, went home, and as soon as I went in the door, her bags were packed by the door, and she was going to leave while I was at work. And I was going to, if I had gone to work that day, when I came back, I would have come back to an empty house besides my stuff. And so that was just to see everything packed by the door. When I opened the door, it was, I don't know, something I'll never forget. There's a point to telling y'all all this stuff. I was hurt. I was hurt deeply. I can go into a lot of detail about stuff. It didn't quite end at that point. There was a lot of things that happened, but a year later, or about 6 months later, she said that she wanted a divorce. And there was nothing I could do, nothing I could say. I felt absolutely powerless, which, I mean, we already are, but it was the first time I just, like, no matter how much I wanted something to work, it was out of my hands at this point. So this is 2011. And at this point, I just kind of gave up on anything and everything. I didn't want to live anymore. I wasn't going to do anything to kill myself, but if something killed me in the process, thank you. I was no longer scared of dying. Not that I was ever really scared. There's a difference between living 100% for God, knowing exactly where you're going, and being secure in whatever happens to you. There's that right there, but that's not where I was at. I was at a place to where, I didn't put a whole lot of thought on where I would go if I had died at that time. Man, I grew up in church, and I knew about God. I knew about Jesus. I, had no doubts of who he was, but at that point, I just didn't have a will to live anymore. And so what that brought on is surrounding myself with people who were in there. A lot of party days and drinking, and people would bring drugs around. And at that point, there's no way, there's no chance at all that I would have tried other stuff before, because I was worried about what it might do to me, what effects might have. But at this point, I didn't care. I just wanted to not feel the pain and the hurt and stuff that I was feeling. I just wanted to forget that. And so whatever it was somebody had, I'm like, oh, sure, I'll try that. I'll do that. And without any sort of, and if it kills me, it kills me, but if it changes the way I feel, it changes the way I feel. And so a lot of experimenting with stuff at that time. And then it got a hold of some real bad stuff. And I was just, even after I'd gotten past the point of just being in a hurt state every day, I had already made some really tough, bad life choices to where I felt stuck. At that point, I felt stuck in the things that I was doing. I felt, the people that I was around. I mean, I knew they didn't have my best interest at heart, but I don't know. I felt stuck in everything that I was doing. And I know during all this time, talk about my parents, and they would see things. They didn't know everything, anything close to everything that was going on, but they knew things weren't right. I had several situations through that time that, whether it was, almost getting carjacked and could have gotten shot that night. There's so many times that I could have died during that time, and the only reason why that I'm alive now is because of the prayers of my parents. They expected to have a call. At some point, saying that I was dead. That's how bad things got for me. The fact that my own parents, the grief, the hurt, everything I put them through, all the worry, fighting these, I don't know what you call it, drug addictions or whatever it was, just these things all the way up until, it was 2016, I had gotten arrested for transporting illegals into the United States. And it was May 15th of 2016, we got arrested and ended up getting sentenced. Around that time, around that time in 2017, got sentenced to 30 months in prison. I still, up until the point of self-surrendering to the camp in Beaumont, I was still holding on to different things. I couldn't do drugs or anything because I was being tested regularly. But drinking, I was still drinking all the way up until self-surrendering. Parents drove me down the night. They could have made me take a bus. But they went me down there, and I went out, in my own hotel room, but I went out that night drinking and stuff before self-surrendering. And just doing the wrong thing all the way up until that point. So, May 30th of 2017 is when I self-surrendered, and when I was in there, there was a really good group of guys in there who really, truly loved the Lord. They had a prayer group every night. I started going to that. Started getting with some of the guys out there, and I knew everything. I knew who the Lord was. I knew who God was. But I had walked away from all of that. Some of what, I guess what I want to bring up real quick is the stuff I read in the beginning about none is good but the Father. Some of the things that come to mind is in some of my darkest times through those years that had really gotten into a lot of bad things. I still had a lot of people around me at different places who were like, man, you're such a good guy. You're not like all these other people, even though I was there doing all the things with everybody else. I had so many people saying, oh, you're such a good guy. And even at that time, I wasn't fooled by anything. I knew that I wasn't doing the right thing. I remember having a discussion with somebody. I'm like, I'm not a good person. What? No, I can see it in you. You're a good person. And I was just completely stunned by the whole thing. How anybody could say that. Everything good comes from God. If anybody saw anything good in me, it wasn't because of me. It was from being raised by godly parents, from the grace of God, that anybody saw anything good in me through that. But I'm still not a good person outside of God, but with God, that's what really matters. I wish I could say that there was a defining moment of where I just, you know what, I said this prayer, I did this thing, and at that point, you know, no more struggles, no more anything. That's just not the case. I had been baptized when we were going to Cleveland Bible Church years and years and years ago. I remember being baptized in there and really, you know, making that decision at that time. And then, you know, obviously years later, going through everything, and then there was a period of time that I got, you know, I gave my life to the Lord again, got baptized with this church, and then very much just quickly went back into a lot of stuff. So like I said, I wish there I could say that there was something that was said, a magic word that was said. That's just not the case. But what I do know, I know God is good. I know that He's been faithful. He's answered my parents' prayers. He's answered my prayers. There's one last thing I want to... One last thing I'll read to y'all. I'm sorry if this whole thing's been like a going a lot of rabbit trails. I tend to do that. This is 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But whatever I am now, it is all because of God poured out His special favor on me, not without results. For I have worked harder than any one of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by His grace." I feel like that. For me, kind of sums things up. I guess that's all I got.